Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman, founder of the Dementia Whisperers Incorporated. Laura Wayman, nationally recognized expert on dementia and author of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, published by Johns Hopkins University Press, joins you and 16 million caregivers with real answers and help, with love, wisdom, and compassion for your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in at 929-477-1393. That's 929-477-1393. And now, live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Are you caring for a loved one, a resident or client who's presenting dementia symptoms and challenging behaviors? Our vision is to open up discussion in order to greatly improve quality of care and excellence in service to individuals with Alzheimer's disease or any dementia and related illnesses, and to lend a reassuring hand to their caregivers and families. This is an interactive call-in show, and we want to hear from our listeners. And I want to remind our listeners, by the way, we love your live phone calls on Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. That call-in line is 929-477-1393, live on this Tuesday evening. So if you are one of the first two callers, you will receive a free copy of the Johns Hopkins University Press book, A Loving Approach to Dementia Care, from Laura Wayman. And now, without further ado, it's time for the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Good evening, Laura.
Good evening, Scott, and thank you for that wonderful introduction, as always. You know I'm always honored to be on the air with you. And so, Scott, would you mind just taking a minute to talk about your credentials, because you do such a wonderful job in this media of radio, and you also have a lot of experience in other medias as well. And I do always like to introduce you to our listeners because, like I said, I'm so honored to be co-hosting this show with you. You help me so much, and you are such a champion for the Dementia Whisperer. So, Scott, tell the listening audience tonight, tell them about who you are and your background. You are very prestigious.
I'm also rather tall. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you, Laura. You're always creating a platform for me to talk about me. But this is really this show. I mean, I'm honored to work with Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer, and because of the contribution it makes. And I guess contribution, and I was talking to someone today about service, that really everything I do, I mean, I'm not, you know, Joan of Arc, but I like to see where the service is in what I do, because that's a big reward for me. And that included many years in public radio and even helping to guide a staff of 70 volunteers, KPFT, which is sister to KPFK, the station in Los Angeles, part of the Pacifica Foundation. But that's always been in my blood. That's why I became a professional coach through Coach University. And, of course, that's why that pathway of service and wanting to know about those parts of ourselves that we can increase and enhance through health and wellness led me on a path that ended up on Sirius Satellite Radio for almost 7 years, 3.5 years basically on one network and 3.5 on another, hosting channels on health and wellness, Wisdom Radio, and Lyme Healthy Living with a Twist Radio, which were two different versions, if you will, of the same channel over the years. And there I got to interact with the highest levels of people with new thought, new health, new wellness, new paradigms, including people like Deepak Chopra. In fact, I did the first interview ever with his daughter, Malika Chopra, who many people know now because of her own good works in care of children around the world. And so I worked both with son and daughter. And that sort of told me, Scott, you've been doing this a long time. Because I first spoke to Deepak Chopra, I actually found that show back from 1996 when he had released one of his first books. So it was quite an arc to see that into 2006, 2007 than interviewing his daughter. So I love the fact that by staying true to who I am and looking for a place to serve and using my natural abilities, which I think we all should always take a cue from, that it leads to media communication. And now working with Laura Wayman in The Dementia Whisperer, because certainly nothing, I think, calls out the greatest need for us to be really committed to what we're doing. As I've discovered my last 5 or 6 years around the senior care community, as senior care, because it's not something you can turn on a switch and turn off. And we know about burnout. And one of the major themes that Laura Wayman has learned, I've learned by being with her and reading her work and listening to her and working with her, is about the need for the care for the caregiver. And I think that's so important. And I think here with our special guest today, we can talk more about the care that they give to the residents, the employees, the caregivers, and to the community. So thank you for that, Laura.
Thank you, Scott. Thanks for pointing that out, because indeed there are over 15 million caregivers out there, family caregivers, professional caregivers, who are dealing with that even special need of providing care for somebody who has some cause of dementia. And it's just threatening to triple in the next 15 years. So we need to saddle our pony and get going on how can we reach these folks. And today it's really special for me. I want to talk to our dear listening audience, because I want you to know that you are not alone. And I'm going to talk to you about some very special people here today that will help you if you are feeling alone, if you have worries, concerns, or anxieties, if you need any advice, inspiration, and encouragement on your dementia care journey. You've certainly tuned into the right place. So stay with Scott and I today and our very special guests that we will be talking with. We have new information on the causes of dementia in some weeks. We talk about how to better manage symptoms. We spend a lot of time learning about dementia from a very different perspective, and this is absolutely essential when it comes to talking about being a caregiver and taking care of that person with dementia and taking care of you as well. Now, today's show, Scott, I'm very excited. I am live on the road, and today I am at Astoria Senior Living in Tracy, California, and this is one of my very favorite places to come. I have the honor of being their consultant here for over the next year. I'm training their staff. We had a wonderful leadership management conference, a four-hour workshop, and I have a wonderful team. The majority of them are here with me today, and we're going to be talking with them about their different perspective that they've learned about dementia and also talking about their specialties. So today I have Cindy, who is Activities Director. I have Antonia.
Hello, Cindy.
Who is Marketing Director. And also we have an extra special guest, because we have a family member here who's going to talk about their experience, because Astoria is assisted living and memory care here in Tracy. And so one of our extraordinary family members who has brought her loved one, her husband, here. Her name is Vicki, and Vicki's going to be talking about her experience and her challenges and the emotional roller coaster of being a caregiver and how essential it is to ask for help and the kind of help that Astoria has given her. So we have a lot on our plate. I know that our hour is going to fly by, as it always does. But, Scott, aren't you excited about this? I mean, this is going to be one of those shows that we're going to be talking about for weeks. Don't you think so?
Well, I love the fact, yes, that you've drawn in both staff as far as marketing outreach in-house with Cindy and activities. But most importantly, I love hearing from the residents' own partners, in this case Vicki, the wife of a husband being cared for by Astoria. So that's quite a triumphant you've got there, Laura.
Yes, indeed. And we think of all of us here as a team. We're all a team. We can't do this without Vicki, and Vicki has understood that she can't do it without us. And we're going to talk about some of those things that we've incorporated because we want our listening audience to understand when you need to make that decision to ask for help and do out-of-home placement, when you find that right place and they're dementia aware, they should welcome you as part of the team because, and I know Cindy and Antonia are going to agree with me, we can't do it without Vicki. She's going to help us do it better. Nobody can do it alone. So when you bring your loved one to a place that's dementia aware, you're not handing them over and then leaving and you feel guilty because you think you're walking away. You just simply become a part of the team because we still need you every bit as much. We're just going to help you make it across that finish line, what I like to call a dementia care marathon, because this can be long and exhausting. And like we talk about all the time, those family members don't ask for help 68% of the time. They'll get sick and go first. It will affect them that in that negative of a way. So I want you to know that Astoria is beautiful. It's cheerful and it's bright. And it's kind of reminiscent of a charming single-story resort. It's located right in the middle of a residential neighborhood here in Tracy, California. And so it feels home-like and comfortable. And the surrounding grounds are filled with courtyards and there's lovely gardens. But more importantly, what I want you to know is that these folks here, this staff, the leadership, the all staff, the dining staff, everyone, the family members are committed to becoming more and more dementia aware, to learn how to do this better every day. This is the most horrific situation of our time, and we are all learning every minute on how to make each experience an enhanced quality of life for the dementia sufferer and to also help that connection so that family member can also experience some joy and some meaning and some purpose and get some rest and some respite and be a part of that team. So having said that, let's get to know Astoria Senior Living. Let's start with talking with Cindy, who does the activities. And I was absolutely overjoyed when I first arrived today. She had a wonderful event that I want her to talk about. It was just so charming. She really thinks out of the box. She does things that are so beneficial for the community, for the families, the residents here. So, hi, Cindy. Welcome. Thank you for being here today.
Hi, Laura. Hi, Scott. How you doing? Thank you for...
Good evening. Thank you.
You know, first of all, I just want to say that, Laura, we've just been inspired with you being here. You're amazing, and I've learned so much from you, and I just... One thing I have to say is I have always had a servant's heart. My grandmother always said, wherever you go, that's where you're supposed to be. And I, too, was a family caregiver. And unlike Vicki, I didn't ask for help. And I spent, you know, many years suffering and struggling and raising children while I cared for my father after my mother died. And when he passed away, I wanted something to do, so I went to the local senior center to volunteer, and this led me into the senior industry of caring for seniors. And it's just being able to give back to the greatest generation is just such a blessing for me. And Laura, you've opened my eyes and guided me through the dementia process. It's been just an amazing journey to be here at Astoria and to be with the families and my coworkers who care so much. And with that being said, today I had an intergenerational program. I am very big on intergenerational programs because I really think it bridges the gap of stereotyping. And this morning we had about 20 toddlers here. And to see the joy on the faces of the residents when they came in and just to bring back the memories of their children, just touching one person, that I know I've done my job. So So we have a lot of wonderful intergenerational programs here with the high school across the street and the DARE program and the Tracy Homeschoolers, and we're just so blessed to be in a community that we have so much support from the youth and the families, and I'm just excited to be here with Laura.
And that it's that small town feel, Scott. That it is a larger community here. How many opportunities? How many apartments are there here?
I'm Antonia, and I am the marketing, but my title is family advisor, because not only do I go out and outreach for the community, I also try to give our families advice and resources as well. So it really depends, Laura, on the amount of residents that we have and if they're going in a single or a shared room. But we could have around 67 residents, 62, I'm sorry, residents in our community.
But because of the layout and the little different areas, it doesn't feel overwhelmingly big. It has, like I said, that small town feel. There's not areas where people are going to go get lost. We always have a way to touch them, either sight or supervision physically. There's all these smaller little areas that are a little easier for them to process. So the layout is really quite nice and quite usable. And Antonia, I like that you talk about how you really are a family advisor, because in this business, I truly believe that leaders are salespeople and salespeople are helping aides, because that's what we need to do. Talk a little bit about what kinds of families come in here. What do you see when they come here? Where are they in their dementia journey usually?
Oftentimes, we have families that are in the middle of a crisis where they may have, like now during these holiday times, have not seen their relative in a while, and then when they do go and visit them for Thanksgiving or the Christmas time holidays, they can see that that they're in need of some special care. So we also have some residents that reach out themselves that are looking into the future for their own care that they feel they may need. One day.
And being proactive like that is a good idea, and not wait until there's a crisis. So starting to look earlier, and we're going to talk to Vicki here in a minute. She's the family member who is here helping us out, telling from her perspective where she was. But I bet when we're talking to her, she would agree that it would have been helpful had she made that decision even earlier than she did. And we'll talk about how that felt and some of those feelings that we're going to get to that here in just a minute. But once again, I am always so honored to be with this team of wonderful leaders, because we all need to step up and raise our dementia awareness, not just those of us in here, but we need to be leaders out in the community. There are so many people who need to understand what it is like to have dementia symptoms, what it is like to be a caregiver, how can we best support them, even though most of the time, and I think once again Vicki will agree with this when we're talking with her in a minute, often you don't even know what you need to ask for. It is just so overwhelming. And the way that dementia creeps up on you and as you watch your loved one and lose your loved one, one piece several pieces at a time, it depends on what's happening. But, Scott, you and I talk about this often, and that's why it's so special to have this group of people today, because it's those different perspectives of building a village. We have to have as many villagers as we can possibly access for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
So,
I'm very interested to hear Vicki's journey, because each of our journeys in life are our journey. But through the shared story of journeys, people can find a commonality, and maybe, who knows, maybe someone out there will hear the show and hear Vicki and realize, you know, I've got to quit being on that river in Egypt, denial. I need to face the facts here for the sake and health, well-being of myself, my loved one, our family. And that's I've been through this, and it's just some of the hardest times of letting go. At the same time you're letting go, you're also embracing, though. It's like they say, one door closes, another opens to a new chapter in life. And so
yes.
I'm very interested to hear what Vicki has to say.
Absolutely. And I would like to introduce Vicki. I would like for her to talk about her journey. And then we're going to circle back around to the rest of the team here. And we can talk about how we reached the point of no return and ended up in dementia care. And once it's in our blood, there's no getting out, I'm telling you right now, because we do truly accomplish and make a difference in people's lives every single day. And so we're going to come back to Cindy and Antonia in just a minute. But let me introduce Vicki. Vicki, if you can just tell the story of how you got here, what was going on about your loved one, the challenges. And then let's, and we're all here to hold you up because this is emotional. Let's talk about how you got to where you are now, but we have to kind of back up. And what was going on in your life when you first realized you might even need Astoria Senior Living?
Oh, my. Earlier this year, actually, let me back up to last year. We moved out to Tracy to be closer to family, and because I recognized that my husband was having problems and I needed their support, and we moved out here. And that's a double-edged sword in moving, because you know you need help, or you finally realize that you need help. But the moving process is so stressful that this can also affect the loved one that you're trying to help, and it did. After the beginning of the year, we moved out here in approximately September of 2015. And after the first of the year, I noticed my husband started to deteriorate fairly rapidly. A lot of paranoia, frustration, and things were changing fairly on an almost daily basis. Then in about mid-March of this year, we celebrated my birthday with family members, and that got my husband so confused that he started waking up in the middle of the night. Now we enter the realm of interrupted sleep for the caregiver, and that had not happened before, and it happened after that every night. And my husband would get up, and he would empty drawers, and he would pack and say, "We need to get out of here." And I would ask him why, and he would say, "We can't afford this." After a while, he started asking me how much I was being paid. I said, "I don't get paid anything. I'm here to love and take care of you." And he didn't believe me. He thought I was lying to him. At different times, he wanted me to leave, because he told me one night, he says, when he asked me to leave, I said, "Why?" He said, "Because my wife is coming home." And I said, "Well, I think I'll stay because I'd like to meet her." But that really didn't help too much. So it's been a learning process for me. But my daughter was the one who pointed me in the direction of, "Mom, we may need to have my husband, her stepfather, in care sooner rather than later, and we should start looking now." And if it wasn't for her, I don't know when I would have started looking or when I would have reached out. I would have kept putting it off, because that's me as a person, but I know that's a lot of caregivers out there who will put off seeking help when they actually need it sooner rather than later. We found ourselves here at Astoria, actually a very happy accident. And I met Antonia, and I met Becky, the administrator, and I believe I met you, Cindy. And we were given a tour. We were welcomed with open arms. We were told they were happy that we had just happened to pop in. We didn't have an appointment. And we were shown the whole facility. And as Laura said, it is so cute. It's quaint. It's not institutional looking at all. And I love it. And but the worst day was April 25th, though, when my husband did have to actually come into memory care. But as we say in our home a lot, it is what it is. And if it had not been for my daughter, I think I probably would have held off a lot longer and suffered with my own health and struggles much longer. The other thing I'd just like to mention really quick for those people who are listening is one of my greatest fears about having my husband come into memory care and even suggesting it was he has children, and I was terrified that they were going to think that I was trying to put their dad into a home, and I was frightened. And my daughter, again, I wish she was here, she came to the rescue. She says, I'll take care of it. And she called him, my husband's oldest son, and explained the situation. And from that time on, we were clear. And as I said, April 25th, my husband came here, and it hasn't been smooth sailing. It was definitely a period of adjustment, but he's here, and I'm happy now. It's been about 7 months.
And I have to say, Scott, that and I know Antonia and Cindy are going to agree with me, Vicki looked so much better. It was so hard on her. Do you agree that from that first day when she walked in, Antonia, Vicki was pretty worn out, wasn't she?
She was, yes, she was. And, you know, part of that was when we did meet Vicki. You know, our theory and philosophy is to go and offer as much help that we can, whether she brought her husband here or not, by maybe bringing over a nice meal or inviting them over for lunch or trying to assist with a difficult time that he wouldn't go into the house. So, you know, I could say that if you could come here and inquire about services, but we're never, ever going to abandon anybody, whether they come here or not. You know, we also offer support groups for them, which Vicki had attended our support group and our great trainings where Laura had, the Dementia Whisperer, had come and done a presentation. So we try to offer the community a lot of support and outreach as well as helping our families.
Absolutely. And that was probably so difficult because what we want to do, and Vicki, tell me if you felt differently, but what we want is we want our loved one to buy into this because we know it's good for them. But when they have dementia, they don't necessarily buy in that this is a good idea, do they?
Oh, no. No, not at all. That was, the day, unfortunately, was a bit of a catastrophic day that my husband came here. And if my memory serves, I believe it was you, Antonia, that helped me with that. We were filling out paperwork, and we had to go and get him. And the group here, I could not ask for a better group of people. All of the staff, from the people who clean the rooms to the people who prepare the meals, and I have eaten dinner here with my husband, and the meals are great. And to the activities that I had hoped that he would have participated in, I talked to Cindy about that, and you know, I had assured her that I thought he would be, oh, that would be great, he would love that. Turns out I was wrong. Not every person is a wants to participate in things, and it turns out he didn't. But that's okay, because Cindy does a great job. And
Cindy, let's
that's
talk
great.
About that. Not everybody with dementia can participate. Let's talk about why that happens.
You know, I think it's just the different levels that they are in their dementia. And, you know, Laura, I just have to say thank you, because some of the things I'm learning from you, you're an amazing, amazing, I want to just say teacher, just your experience, strength, and hope has been wonderful, is they may not know you, but they know how you made them feel. And so for Preston,
right.
We're connected because I'm a truck driver's daughter, and
mm-hmm.
he was a truck driver. And Vicki and I sat down for about an hour when he first moved in, and we made a memory book. And so there's different ways you can reach each resident that has dementia to just make them feel loved. And he really enjoys seeing the kids.
It's something he can relate to and
mm-hmm.
engage with. And that's a very hard thing for a lot of communities to understand, because you can't do cookie cutter care. A lot of times, a lot of communities, what they want to do is, well, let's have crafts. Well, would Preston be able to relate to crafts?
No,
not at all. He's going to relate to, so Cindy has this unique perspective, and she can relate to him on a very different level that is successful, but we have to let that be okay if Preston doesn't want to do crafts. We don't have to make him do crafts. And so we have to individualize and customize every single activity, everything that we do, dining and activities and every minute of every day, because what works for Mrs. Smith might not work for Mrs. Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one
that's so true. You know, we have our mid-show break coming up now, Laura. But
okay.
I do think, you know, as you said at the opening of the show, one of the most dynamic programs, I so get that with the conversation with the three guests today. And I would love to hear, because here we are on the cusp of Thanksgiving. Now, let's face it, if there's one time that families will tend to be together besides the holiday of Christmas and around then, it's Thanksgiving probably more than any other. And certainly that's when the issue oftentimes is the only time that it's actually brought up with Mom or Dad or Uncle Charlie. And so I would love to hear the three ladies there, Antonia, Cindy, and Vicki, as well as yourself, with some input after the break on, here's Thanksgiving. When are you going to talk about it? If not now, when and how? Because, gratefully, Vicki's family bought in easily, but that's not always the case, especially with people who aren't there but have strong opinions, and we know it. And that's what I meant about the most difficult things to deal with in health and wellness is the aging of a loved one, in my opinion. So, Laura, without further ado, go to that break.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the individualization we're having to do with Vicki's husband when it comes to Thanksgiving. We can talk right on that subject when we get back.
I think that's a great theme to bring out at this time of year. And it is Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer, live on the road at Astoria Gardens in Tracy, California. This is co-host Scott Cluthy, and it's great to have you folks out there. We are live. Questions or comments, we do love to hear from you. I have the chat box open. You can put a question there, or you can call in live right now, 929-477-1393. We'll be back with more after important information from the Dementia Whisperer. Stay with us, won't you? You're listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. Call in with your personal questions and concerns on the dementia journey. Call 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. We'll be right back.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much, for taking me out to the park, for reading me books, For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot in ballet rehearsal.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom, for having the chance to take you to the park, for reading you those books we enjoy so much, for being able to take you to your therapies after you twisted your ankle, for understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. And in your new role, we help you help. Visit aarp.org/caregiving to get practical health and wellness tips to provide even better care for your loved one. Remember, visit aarp.org/caregiving. AARP, we help you help. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 4 number one albums, 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 7 Grammy Awards, 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism, 1 in 68. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Autism Speaks, it's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Call in at 929-477-1393 and visit Laura Wayman online at laurawayman.com. And now, Laura Wayman, the Dementia Whisperer. Welcome back to Live with the Dementia Whisperer. Co-host Scott Cluthie here with you. And we are on the road live tonight in Tracy, California, at Astoria Gardens with Laura Wayman and 3 very special guests. Laura?
Why, thank you, Scott. And we are here at Astoria Senior Living. And I am here with Cindy. I am here with Antonia. And I am here with Vicki. And we all have a little different perspective on dementia, how we can help people make a difference here at Astoria. And also, we have Vicki here who has the experience of being an actual caregiver and watching us struggle a little bit in learning how to best take care of her husband because it's all a learning experience. So we stumble a little bit and we fall and we get up and we dust ourselves off and we figure out how to do it and we support Vicki in that. And But it is so wonderful to work with a dementia-aware family member because Vicki has taken the time to really learn as much as she can. She's come to a couple of my trainings. She comes in and asks for our advice and counsel. We sit down and we are creative with his care approach. And it is difficult because we can't approach each person with a cookie-cutter kind of care approach, even when it comes to the holidays. So I want Vicki to talk about how there was a little bit of a Thanksgiving celebration and how in the past, before her husband had some dementia symptoms, he would have enjoyed this kind of celebration and how some people might enjoy it. But we have to be aware that when they lose that ability to process information around them, that sometimes that's just too much, that it can be frightening. So, Vicki, explain a little bit about what happened, because it was a bit of a surprise to you as well, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I'd just like to echo something that Cindy has said, is how much I have gotten from you,
and
becoming more dementia aware. I just wanted to express that to you and to let Scott know and the audience know how much I appreciate it. Astoria had a Thanksgiving luncheon last weekend, and I had several family members come, and surprisingly, when we got here, we went to my husband's room, and he was very angry. He would not get out of the chair. He would hardly look at us, or if he did look at us, you could see the anger in his eyes, and I tried to talk to him and say, we're here, and do you want to go out for, I don't know if I asked the question. Let me back up. I don't know what I said, actually. All I can remember is the look in his eye, and it was it was really concerning to me and to the rest of our family. At any rate, what we determined we think happened is the door to his room was closed, but outside of his room was where a lot of the tables were being set up. So even though he couldn't see what was happening, he could hear it. And the confusion over hearing, that sensory overload, I think, is what spiraled him downward into that area where he was so upset. He wasn't going to come out. He didn't want us there. He told me to leave and to take everybody else with me. And we were stunned, absolutely stunned. This is not, it had not happened like this before. Last Christmas, my recollection was he was fine. We were at his son's house and everything was okay. And this Christmas, or I'm sorry, this Thanksgiving, I apologize, it's totally different. So it was very shocking. And so we're going to try. I mentioned it to Laura, and I think we're going to, when they do it at Christmas time and have an early Christmas celebration, we will move him out of that area and into a quieter part of the gardens, so that hopefully that won't be as upsetting and we could still have a meal with him and enjoy his company.
Because we're going to think for him, aren't we, Vicki?
Yes.
What's happening is he's trying to process all of that with a broken thinker. His processor is broken. And so it just makes them so anxious because they don't understand why there's all that noise going on. They can't fit all the puzzle pieces together, and it simply causes them to be on overload. And often we can back up and we can learn from that. Just
mm-hmm.
like we'll make it a little bit quieter celebration because now he's at a point where all that noise and people is not a celebration for him. Instead, it is a frustration for him. So we learn.
You know, Laura, if I could add a thought, you know, it just occurred to me, you know, that's like 180 degrees from what the average person would think with an older family member about the holidays. That's exactly the opposite of what most people think, isn't it? They think, well, Christmas, Thanksgiving, their birthday, well, that will make them happy. That will bring them back to their senses. That will bring them back in the room. And it's oftentimes just the opposite. That's why it's so confounding.
It is so confounding because everything we know about communicating with an adult who does not have dementia, we have to stop thinking that way and do almost the opposite. And Cindy, don't you find that as a bit of a challenge? Because your job is to keep them active and busy, and yet you have to meet them at their loss and their accomplishment, and you have to personalize every activity for them, don't you?
You know, you really do. Each person has their own journey. And so one of the things that really attracted me to working for AgeMark and here at Astoria Senior Living was the wellness program that they have in place, which is you're able to touch them in four different areas, which is spiritual, social, physical, and intellectual. And our philosophy in programming is to make it as natural as possible and to get to know the resident and family history so we can create meaningful activities, even though I don't like that word activity. You know, that's kind of old school programming. So they can enjoy themselves. So what might work for one won't work for the other. So for Preston, what I mentioned earlier was Vicki and I made a memory book for him, and we spent
mm-hmm.
about 2 hours going over all of his favorite places and places he loved to go and things that he did in the past and the service. And we put this beautiful book of pictures and memories together for him so in quiet time we can share that with him. And it really is important to just individualize that program for each person.
And if I could just say that during the time that I work with the families is when we do gather a lot of information about their history and what they did and their dislikes and their likes and their food preferences. So it really helps us and our staff to get to know that individual before they even walk in the door. And again, too, I would like to say again that Laura, her information that she gives to us, we have several of her books that we give in our family support groups, and the community has been so rewarding to help us even do a better job than we ever could have imagined.
Oh, shucks. Well, and one of the things that I have noticed with Antonia is she's very easy to talk to. She's a very safe place to land emotionally. You know you can trust her, and that's important. Don't you agree, Vicki? You
yes.
can come in. You can tell her. There's no judgment here. We may not understand exactly where you are in your journey, but we work to come as close as we can to help relate to where you are. And Antonia always asks the right questions. She works with those family members to really figure it out. You know, we do have a bit of a challenge. Vicki's husband is resistant to bathing. Oh, shock, surprise, he doesn't want to take a shower. I mean, that's so common. He doesn't want someone helping him. He believes he can do it himself. It's irritating him. And so when we were having a team meeting and talking about this challenge, we as leaders came up with an idea about asking Vicki to come and help us with that because she can get him into the shower. And so she is still part of the team. Just because he moved in here with us, that doesn't take away the fact that we still need her to help us with that challenge because he will do it for her. And that gives her an opportunity to spend some time with him because we're taking over some of those other hard things that were difficult for you. So you're still getting the rest that you need, but you're also still helping us with this challenge. So we think as a team, as a whole, Antonia asks questions about what did work for you, and then she brings that back to us. And Cindy asks questions about what things maybe he would like to talk about, and maybe it's just having a conversation. Maybe that's all the activity he can take part in.
You know, one thing that we really connected on is he's a very spiritual man, and so although he may not be right in the mix of a spiritual sermon, he's just actively engaged. He's passively engaged, and that's something that he really loves, and we were able to connect on that level as well.
And I think, again, too, as family advisor, it is so nice that I can pick up the phone and call Laura and say, I've got this family, it's very challenging, we don't know what to do with this resident, and that it always seems that she has the answer.
I'd like to think that I don't always have the answer, but together we figure it out because I have worked very hard to make you dementia care practitioners as well. You are dementia whisperers as well, and we all have to come at this from that. I want to think that I may have some answers for you, but I don't have all the answers. We come up with some brilliant ideas together. We do that. Just like the challenge of not getting your husband in the shower, well, you will have a better opportunity. Although, having said that, we do have some caregivers who are really being successful with that. They've figured out an approach. We just had a caregiver today in training that came up to Vicki and said, I did get him in the shower, and we all go, yay! Yes. Go ahead and talk about that.
Well, we reached out to Laura about a resident that we have here that has to limit her fluid intake. And so we asked Laura to observe the resident during the mealtime. And, you know, it came up with the team and, you know, Laura's advice to go out and find a special cup that she cannot continue to pour liquid into.
She can't fill it as easily. I got one of those cups that it's not going to be as easy for her because she continues to fill her cup. She thinks she needs more water, but we're having to limit her water. And so we've done all kinds of things. Like at night, we have to turn off the water in her bedroom because she'll drink out of the sink even. because she has this, that she's not, but it's so hard on her heart. She doesn't know that that's what's happening. She thinks she's thirsty. She needs to drink. Why in the world are we not letting her do that? So I went and got a one of those car cups for a coffee that has a little switch on top that just opens it up just a little bit so you can drink out, but it's difficult for it's a non-spill, so it's difficult to get water back in there. And then we filled it with ice and just put a little bit of water in it, and it's so it's heavy, so she feels like she has it, but it also slows down her ability to drink. She can't gulp it, and she can't fill it up because we put the lid on really tight. So, you know, you just think of ways to manage.
And like Laura says, that continually sticks in my mind is you can't stop it, fix it, or change it, but you can manage it. And I think that's exactly what we did here today, because too much liquid is very dangerous for her health. So this is just a part of us managing her care.
Absolutely. And it's not always easy. And it's sometimes it's kind of humorous because you go, oh, my gosh. You know, the first thing I said, and I think the caregiver, she's a great caregiver, but I think she was a bit appalled, is I said, well, why don't we get her a sippy cup? And I didn't mean a sippy cup, but I could see the look on the caregiver's face. She's going, a sippy cup? And I went, no, I don't mean a sippy cup like for a baby. I mean a sippy cup that's going to make her sip it slower and not have the opportunity. So, you know, we have to kind of think out of the box sometimes. And then I went, no, I don't mean a sippy cup. I mean one of those car cups, a coffee cup that has a lid on it where it's not going to be as easy for her to get water in and out. It's going to slow it down a little bit. So I haven't heard whether that was successful or not, because I did that right before I went into training. But I'm hoping that if that's not, then we'll all put our heads together and figure out what does work. That's what we do. So go ahead, Vicki.
Scott, it was it's been a challenge for me to find out what works, but and I don't have all the answers, and Laura has been such a tremendous help, and with her book and her DVD, and I guess her book is coming out soon again, I guess, or
the
next year.
The second edition,
which is awesome.
Yes.
But I wanted to share kind of more of a lighter story about my husband, Preston, just to hopefully encourage people that you can find some funny situations. I came in one day, and I guess my husband had been kind of in a not the best mood, and he had taken the director's keys, and she needed them back. And so she said, you know, oh, come here, I need you to help me. Preston has my keys, and he won't give them back. And I said, oh, and this came out of the blue. I did not plan this. I walked up to my husband. I saw he had this big wad of keys in his hand. And I said, Preston, you found my keys. I'm so happy. And I took the keys gently, and I threw my arms around him, and I hugged him and kissed him on the neck, and I handed the keys off to Becky, the director. And then all was good.
And that's such a great
Vicki,
gift.
You're a dementia whisperer, Vicki.
Hey, Vicki, I said that. Everybody's so brilliant. It's brilliant. We figured this out. It's so good.
Well, it just comes. Sometimes things happen, and I don't know. Like I said, it was not planned. It was completely out of the blue. But those are, I think, some of the best moments.
That's beautiful.
You know, if I could share, one of the greatest things I've learned working, you know, in dementia is you have to go into their world. For the caregivers at home, you can't convince them that, you know, it's day if it's night. You can't convince them their mother's still alive. So, you know, we are creative storytellers here, and it's a beautiful thing to be able to just help someone with dementia feel at ease. If it's just sitting and holding their hand, or you know, telling them their mother's at the store and they'll be back. I mean, it's just such, there's a lot of beautiful things in dementia as well as the sad. So,
yes.
We laugh a lot.
Well, Laura, it's like you always say, you know, that dementia is a one-way river, and we're in the boat with our loved one, and we have to let go and let the tide take us and quit fighting the reality of the world of dementia. And it can only make for a happier journey. And it also, though, Vicki, it shows that the power of intuition. You said, I don't know where that came. Well, it came from you, and it came from your understanding, that internal understanding that kind of surpasses figuring out logic and what a formula says. There is no formula in that life.
That's so true. Nothing, it's different all the time.
And right. That's a perfect example that Vicki just simply thought for him. Because if she had walked up to her husband and said, would you give me those keys? Whose keys are those? Then immediately his brain would start to try and figure out, which would make him anxious. Whose keys are these? I think these are mine. They're in my hand. But what are they for? And why does she want them? And then as soon as we start that, then they start to get anxious. But instead, she simply just thought for him, which made him feel good because she said, oh, you found my keys. And he's immediately going, that's so good. It's all about how we make them feel. And the more proactive we are to keep them in their safe and secure place and how they feel, the better it's going to be for all of us. And that's not always easy because the first thing we always do when we walk up to somebody is we ask them a question. How are you today? When we ask that question, we force that person to think. And it's okay if our thinker's working because we do it on autopilot. But if we're asking that person with dementia to think, it's almost painful. It's almost like saying, oh, you have a broken leg, go run the track because you did that before. I don't understand why you don't want to do it now. When you ask a question, you say, use your thinker like you did before, even though it's obvious that it's broken and it's hard for you. So it feels so weird because we think we're not giving them the dignity that they deserve, but it's the opposite. It keeps them in their dignity the more we think for them. And it is so hard. We have to practice that every day, all the time, every minute. I practice it all the time. And so I am very lucky that I get to stand in front of folks like these leaders here today and Vicki, who is a leader as a family caregiver. I'm so lucky that I get to help them and teach them. And I mean, what a marvelous opportunity. I do want to talk a little bit. I want to thank you all for being here today. We have just a couple of minutes. I know the time goes by so fast. I know you were all looking at me like an hour, what? But it's crazy. It goes by really fast. And we'll do this again really soon. I do want everyone out there to know that we thank you for joining us today. Or if you're downloading this and listening to it as a podcast, we want to recognize the courage it takes to reach out for help. I want to give Vicki a big hug and tell her how courageous she is to come and talk about this. This is painful, and to know that we all love her very much and are very honored to be a part of her family. Nothing in your life will prepare you to care for a loved one with any cause of dementia, nothing. And so I have a little poem I want to say to just as our closing thought. I found this poem, and I think it's so beautiful. I have dementia. I know you care for me as best you can. You cook and clean and hold my hand. The days are long, this I know. You are fast while I am slow. I ask you to try and stay strong for me. Resist the urge to disagree. This disease is bad, yes indeed, but positive care is all I need. So, Scott, thank you so much for being a part of my life. You make a huge difference every single time we are together. And if you could say a quick goodbye. We don't have too much longer. Thank you so much for being a part of this. Thank you, Cindy. Thank you, Antonia. Thank you, Vicki. This will be a very, very important show. I want you all to share this with your family, the community. And we will be, once again, we will be back here. We'll have some more opportunities to do a show together. How'd you feel? Did you feel like this was worthwhile today?
Absolutely. Yeah, great. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
All right.
Well, I'm thankful for for all of you joining us, for your authenticity, Vicki. That's what's needed in the world, is more authenticity and reality so that people can understand the world of dementia. And I'm very grateful and thankful this Thanksgiving to be working with someone of the caliber of Laura Wayman, the finest dementia teacher, trainer, and inspirer I've ever met. And I'm just grateful because I know that we're helping people and there are so many more to reach. So happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Stay tuned for more Dementia Whisperers Live with Laura Wayman. Just follow us on Blog Talk Radio and you'll know every time there's a new episode. Have a great day, everybody. You've been listening to Live with the Dementia Whisperer, featuring Laura Wayman. Get your copy of A Loving Approach to Dementia Care and connect with Laura at laurawayman.com. And join the Dementia Whisperer's newsletter. Send email questions, ideas, and comments to help@laurawayman.com. And join Laura Wayman on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. This is Scott Cluthy, co-host and executive producer. Join us next time for Live with the Dementia Whisperer, Laura Wayman.